Welcome to the show, guys. It's Deborah Gets Red Pilled, episode 35. It's Sunday, the 28th of February, 2021. I'm waiting for Deborah to show up. She's a little late. Yeah, hope everybody's doing well. It's a sunny day here in Oregon, and it's a lot better than it's been, so... Guys, we want to hear from you. Send us your emails at DeborahGetsRedPilled@protonmail.com. We haven't received any recently. Send us your show recommendations, guests you want to hear, topics, and we'll do our best to incorporate that into the show. Yeah, we're pretty much booked through March. We got a couple spots in March, so if you want to hear somebody, let us know and we will do our best. Yeah, and what do you guys want to hear about? Do you want to hear about geopolitics stuff? Do you want to hear about ancient mysteries? I know what I want to hear about, but we'll figure it out. And you can hit us up on Twitter at Deborah Gets Red Pilled, or I don't know, at Deborah Gets Pilled. And what else we got? We have, where the hell is Deborah? Yeah, we've got some good stuff going on in March. The guy who no call, no showed on us a few weeks back reached out and apologized and said that he wants to come back on, so we're going to give him another shot. Hopefully he shows up this time. But you never know. So, there she is. Morning. She doesn't have her headphones on yet. We're recording.
Oh, okay.
How's it going?
It's going well. How's it going?
It's going really good here. We have it's a sunny day.
Oh, nice.
Sunny day yesterday, too. I mowed the lawn.
Wow.
For the first time since probably September. So
spring's on its way.
Yeah, I cleaned up the backyard. It was a real mess back there. So yeah, everything's good. We got the wood floors refinished in our upstairs. It looks really, really good.
Are they all finished with the work now?
Yeah, they were done on Thursday.
That's great.
Yeah, I woke up in the middle of the night, though, with, like, a bad headache. I thought I was sick. And, like, as soon as, like, I feel sick, I get this terrible anxiety because that means I have to tell if I missed work because I was sick, my work would make me quarantine and take a test to come back to work. So, but I think it was just, like, the fumes from the floor.
Was that last night the first night that you slept upstairs?
No, I slept upstairs Friday night and Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
So, but I feel okay now, so I'm not so worried.
Knock wood. Good.
Yeah.
Headache is okay now?
Yeah, headache's gone, and I feel fine. So, good. Are you excited for the show today?
Yeah.
Do you know what we're talking about?
Astrotheology.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I watched some of his videos.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty complicated, huh?
Well, yeah, I don't know astrology that well. I mean, he was able to explain it in a simple enough term, but I know he goes much deeper than, you know, the videos that I watched.
Because he relates it to the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Zeitgeist?
No. It's, I wrote it down. Good. Yeah, I gotta watch it.
It's pretty good. I watched it on Friday night, and they do a bunch of stuff about astrotheology in it. I think that a lot of it is not correct, though. That's an old movie, but that's one of those movies like Loose Change that woke a ton of people up. They do like a little segment at the start on religion, and then they do a segment on 9/11
and in Zeitgeist. Okay.
Yeah. You can get it. I rented it. It's on Amazon for $3. I watched it a long time ago and it didn't really register with me. So I decided to watch it again. That's worth watching. But you know, what else is going on? Same stuff.
Same stuff.
Same stuff, huh?
Yeah. I feel like the most... Is it you who calls it Groundhog Day? Somebody calls it Groundhog Day. You get up, you do the same damn thing day after day after day.
Yeah. Well, what would you be doing different?
I don't know. But there'd be other stuff in there for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know. I'm going to go. How's your yard looking?
My yard's fine. It's, you know, different season, different debris falls.
Are you going to grow any vegetables this year?
You know, I haven't for a few years only because I got so frustrated that, you know, raccoons or somebody came and all I had grown was tomatoes and I think basil at the time. And the raccoons would go up to the tomatoes that were just starting to ripen and they wouldn't even bother to take them off the vine. They just take a bite out of them and leave it there.
Yeah, like, that's like Wilma would eat a bunch of our good tomatoes last year. I remember there was one that was so perfect. And I was like, all right, it's got one more day. It was big. I went out the next day and it was gone. And then she ate a bunch of my cabbages too. I have to make up like rig up a system with some cattle panels around the boxes this year so she doesn't get in there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to the good weather and growing food again. So some guy with a libertarian podcast reached out to me. It's called like the Blackbird podcast, reached out to me and wants me to go on because he heard me on Monica Perez. So that's good. And last year we had so much food in the garden. I want to figure out how to like grow it in a more organized way this year. So we have food through for more than just like 2 months in the summer. Like we had way too much food for 2 months and then nothing. So
we got to figure out. What about your greenhouse?
Yeah. That'll be for like the fall. I just was lazy and didn't get a cover on it this year. So I have the plastic sitting in the backyard right now. Maybe I'll work on that today. That'd be a good idea. And
how does it feel being a solo in the house these days?
It's okay. I went over and had dinner with Emily and the lady that she's helping last night. That was nice. She lives over in Northeast Portland in this like really big old like grand house in this beautiful neighborhood. So those old houses are so, so awesome, but it's just so much work to keep them up, you know?
Yeah.
Like everybody, I think back in the old days, it was like a wealthy area, probably had like a whole staff of people. It reminds me of the house that I grew up in Northwest Portland. There was like, a bell, like a little like doorbell type thing in every room of our house. And
so
then
you could summon
Then in the kitchen there was like this little box like with like the numbers that flip like an old alarm clock.
Yeah.
And so like it was above the stove and you'd press a button in a room and it would flip to a number and that would be the room that the maid was supposed to go to. And it's crazy because it wasn't like a huge house, you know, it was like probably 1500 square foot, you know, just normal house for the time. It was a really beautiful house, but yeah.
I dropped my napkin. Will you come pick it up for me,
please? Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'd rather see like a flipping number than like hear a bell ringing. So let's see. I sent the invite to our guest and he should be here soon. Maybe I'll send him the password. Have you heard any recent current events or anything that caught your eye? Mm-mm. Nothing.
I'm staying away.
Completely?
Well, I downloaded from I can't think of his name, the fellow from Conspiracy Synergy.
Oh, Keith Snyder.
Keith, thank you. He made some recommendations on one of his videos.
Yeah.
So I downloaded John Corbett.
James Corbett.
James Corbett and some other stuff. So I haven't sat down and read through any of that stuff yet. I started to get emails, but I haven't had a chance to just look them over yet.
Did you get videos from James Corbett or like a newsletter type deal?
Newsletter.
Okay. He's got videos too.
Mm-hmm.
They're hard to find on YouTube, but they're there.
Yeah.
Okay. Our guests here, guys, we're going to pause.
Great.
We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back, and we got our guest here today, Micah Dank, and he's going to tell us all about astrotheology and the Bible and all sorts of stuff that I don't understand. So how's it going, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing really well.
Doing well.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started down this road and everything.
Sure. So about 2012, 2013, I'd moved to Boston for a job. And I'm from Long Island, and I moved to Boston. And when I had gotten there, there wasn't a whole lot of people there that I knew. So, I mean, I've got family there, but it wasn't a whole lot of people that I knew. So I spent a lot of time. The iPad just came out. Excuse me. So I was doing a lot of rabbit hole searching.
Yeah.
And
YouTube was still YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I started going down some rabbit holes, and I came across astrotheology, and I just started studying it because it answered so many questions.
Yeah.
That I basically had, and I just started studying it, and then eventually I was able to start writing stuff on my own, and then for a few years I tried to get a book deal, and then I finally landed an agent, and then I landed a book deal. So I have a 6-book deal. 3 books are out right now. The 4th one's coming out March 15th, awesome. Then June 15th, then September 15th. And it's all about this kind of stuff. They're thrillers, but they're based on this kind of information.
Yeah. So they're kind of like the Da Vinci Code of astrotheology.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah, I heard on Grimerica, you mentioned that one of the original people you found was Jordan Maxwell.
Yes. Yes.
Right on.
Are you familiar with Jordan?
Had you seen Zeitgeist?
I had, and it didn't really go that deep into it.
Yeah.
It was a good intro.
Yeah. I watched it again Friday night. I may or may not have been really high on psilocybin mushrooms, but I remember watching it. You know, when it first came out, and I wasn't woke up to anything yet, and it didn't, like, none of the whole movie didn't register with me. So it was a good one to watch this time around, but I heard a bunch of it's like kind of correct, but not all the way correct. So,
right.
Yeah. But yeah, they have Jordan Maxwell on there talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he was a big part. He was a big part. So I can just start, basically, unless you guys have any questions before.
Deborah, do you have any questions?
Can I ask as we go along?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely. All right. So hold on. So guys, we're going to, if you're listening to this on a podcast form, if you all have it uploaded on YouTube as well on our channel, and he's doing a PowerPoint presentation, so I think it'd probably be better to watch than listen to this one. So if you're listening, go ahead and move over to the YouTube.
Okay. All right. So if I were to ask you guys what the oldest writings were, what would you say they were?
Sumerian or hieroglyphics or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's about 5,000-6,000 years old. Okay. But Alaskan caves go about 40,000 years old. They're about 40,000 years. And what they are, they're these caves that they found in France, where basically what they did was they went into these caves and they went into the back. And then in the back, they had all these walls with all sorts of drawings and etchings on it. Like this, you had the bulls, you had the lions, you had the horse. And of course, in astrology, this is Taurus, the bull, Leo, the lion, and the horse represents Sagittarius, the man with the bow and the arrow. So what they did was they carbon dated this wall and they found that it was about 40,000 years old. What they did was they then brought in an astronomer who has a computer. And what he did was he rewound the sky back to 40,000 years. And what he ended up doing was found that when he printed out the information that he had from the stars and he superimposed it onto the caves, he found that all these animals lined up to where their constellations were supposed to line up. Okay, so this is a 40,000 year old at least science.
Yeah. Okay,
well beyond 6,000 years of the Sumerians.
Did they find out who the people were that had written on these caves?
No, I don't believe so, no. But they also found out that the interesting thing, too, is on June 21st, which is the summer solstice, the sun would come in the cave and bounce off these walls, and it would only do that one day a year.
Oh.
Okay, so they knew that. So basically, we've got some questions that we can ask. How was Jesus able to heal the blind? How did he walk in the water? How he turned water into wine? Why he had 12 disciples? Why he was betrayed with a kiss by Judas? Why he was dead for 3 days? Why his birthday is December 25th? So in order to answer these, we have to go through the 12 signs. Okay, are you guys familiar with the 12 signs?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I'm going to go into it a little more depth.
Okay.
All right, so Aquarius is the first sign is Aquarius, which is it's the first sign I talk about. The first sign is actually Aries. But the first sign that I talk about is Aquarius, which is represented by the man. And I wrote here the story of Zeus and Aquarius. The story of Zeus and Aquarius is basically this. Zeus was in heaven, and he looked down on Earth, and he saw a 14-year-old boy that he really wanted in heaven. And what he ended up doing was he ended up bartering with the boy's father, gave him a whole bunch of livestock and stuff, made him very rich. And he took the boy up, and the boy would serve him with the water pitcher, what we call ambrosia. He would serve the gods. You're familiar with ambrosia, right?
No.
Nectar of the gods.
It's the nectar of the gods right there.
Okay.
It's the nectar of the gods. It's what the gods would drink. The boy, after serving for quite some time, got really annoyed and frustrated that that's what he was doing. So as you can see in the picture, what he did was he took the water pitcher and he poured it over the side of heaven, and it flooded the earth. That's where the Greeks get their flood story from. Like, we all have flood stories. And Zeus, what he basically did was he just immortalized him as the constellation Aquarius, instead of punishing him, because he realized that he kind of put him in this horrible situation and he felt bad. So that's what he is. So that's the sign. Pisces is the sign of the two fish in the water. Aries is the ram. And in Aries, you have March 21st, which is the spring equinox. It's a 12-hour day, 12-hour night. It's also the Passover, or the passing over of the sun over the equator and back on its way up to the height in the summer solstice. In Christianity, the passing over is changed and called the resurrection of God's Son. That's why the Jews smear the lamb's blood on the door in Exodus to protect them from God's wrath that he's raining down on the Egyptians' firstborn sons. That's why the Jews have a lamb bone on their Passover plate. It's also why they blow the ram's horn to the sky, is because they're the people of Aries. They're the people of that time, just like we're the people of Aquarius right now. They were the people of Aries, so their god was the ram, so they'd blow the ram's horn. Taurus is the bull. When you look at the sky and you see Taurus during the season where it's supposed to be, you know that you need to put the bull on the plow on the bull so that you can plant the seeds so that you can harvest in Virgo and Libra. Then Gemini is the twins. It's Castor and Pollux Troy, whose sister is Helen of Troy, the story of Achilles. Everybody knows that. Right? I'm assuming that you guys have heard that in Greek mythology. Yeah. Thank you, Deborah. Then Cancer is the crab. It's the sideways moving creature. Just as the sun rises a degree on its axis on December 25th, it stops on June 21st. Then for 3 days, it rises to the same degree, which moves sideways. And then on June 25th, it lowers a degree. So what the sun does is this. Starting on December 25th, the sun rises a degree. And then every single day, it rises a degree. On its axis, the days get longer and longer and longer. It hits June 21st. It stops for 3 days at that height. And then it drops a degree on June 25th. And then it drops a continuous degree, goes down, down, down until it hits December 21st, which is the winter solstice. And then for 3 days, it stays at that lowest point. Okay, so that's where God's sun was dead for 3 days comes from, because that's what the sun does. And then it rises on December 25th. It's the birthday of Dionysus. It's the birthday of Horus. It's the birthday, I believe, of Osiris.
Wow.
Yeah, so all the gods are born on that day, and that's why. And that's why the Cancer is the crab, is because it moves sideways like it does for those 3 days.
So that's why Jesus is born on the 25th too, right? Because the sun is rising.
He's the son of God. Literally the sun. He's literally the son of God. Yeah. Not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N.
Got it.
Then Leo is the king. It's the lion. It's the king of the jungle. The ruling planet of Leo is actually the sun. So when they're talking about Jesus being in his kingdom, or the kingdom of heaven is near, the kingdom of heaven is Leo. Okay, because the sun is in Leo. The sun is the ruling planet of Leo. Virgo is the woman holding the wheat stalk, as you can see in the picture. Okay. Remember when we were saying that you plant in Taurus? Well, in Virgo, the virgins would cultivate the wheat in order to make the bread. Then in Libra, Libra is the justice, the scales, the balance, the just one. The reason it's the justice is because it judges God's sun as it passes over the fall equinox and begins its descent into winter, which is cold, and its death. And the Jews always celebrate the new year around the fall equinox. And Libra is also wine season, which is when you plant the grapes in Taurus, you could press for the wine here. So Virgo is the bread and Libra is the wine, the bread and the wine. Those are the symbols of Christianity. Also, in Libra, it's important to know that because it's the justice, it's the judger, the Jews have what's called Yom Kippur on in Libra, which is Atonement Day. It's Judgment Day. It's when God judges you. Mm-hmm. And you'll be put into the Book of Life for another year, or this will be your last year. So that's why they have it in Libra, because it's the judger. Then you have Scorpio, which is the scorpion, and he's known as the betrayer. When a scorpion bites you, it leaves an imprint in your skin that looks like two lips. So that's why it's a betrayal, because it looks like a kiss, but it's not. It's why the mafia has the kiss of death, and it's why Jesus was betrayed by Judas with a kiss. The sun is judged in Libra and betrayed in Scorpio, and then finally in Sagittarius. This is where the bow and the arrow shoot the sun and inflict further punishment on the sun. In the Bible, it's translated as a spear going into the side of God's sun, which I'll explain. This is where the sun dies. Why? Because on December 21st, the sun is at its lowest point. It cannot rise any lower. It's dead. It's dead for winter. It remains at the lowest level for 3 days, which is why Jesus was dead for 3 days. When on December 25th, the birth of God's sun, it rises another degree and starts to make its way back up top. And it starts to climb, which is the last sign I'm talking about, as Capricorn, the goat, because it starts to climb the mountain. It starts that climb metaphorically back to its height in the summer solstice. So those are the 12 signs. Do you guys have any questions?
I guess the one question I have is, I went to Catholic school, so I know a little bit about just what they told us in, you know, Sunday school and stuff. But what, so they, the 3 days between the 21st and the 25th is the time that he was supposed to be dead before he was resurrected.
Right. That's why he's dead for 3 days. Yes.
But why is Easter then in April?
Oh, that has to do with the spring coming up in Aries.
Okay.
That has to do with the spring coming up in Aries. See, Aries starts the new year. It's a metaphor.
Okay.
It's a metaphor. So Aries starts the new year, which is spring. When everything comes back to life.
Okay.
So that's why he comes back to life, which is in Aries.
Got it.
Right?
I have a question. Maybe this is too general and too broad, but chicken and the egg. I mean, did humans make these stories up to fit into the astrological geography, or how do you think this came about? Is that too broad? Am I?
No, not at all. The truth, I've traced this back 40,000 years, right? I've traced this back 40,000 years. I don't know who gave them the science. I know that they knew it back then.
Okay.
As far as all the mythologies and the stories go, this is the only story that's ever been told. It's just been told in a variety of ways.
Okay.
I'm going to show you the breakdown and the metaphors of how this works.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it's just the same story. It's just the same story. You've got the Passover, which is the passing over of the sun over the equator. That's what the Jews celebrate. They celebrate the Passover. They say it's God passing over Egypt, but it's the sun passing over the equator and on its way back to its height in the summer solstice. The Christians say it's the resurrection of God's son. It's the same thing. The sun comes back to life. It's the same thing.
Okay.
So we have names for Jesus. He's called the scapegoat of Israel, or the goat sign in Capricorn. He's the son of man, or the man sign in Aquarius. He's the fisherman of men, or Pisces, the two fish. Also why you could feed the masses with two fish. He's the lamb of God, or the ram in Aries. He's the lion of Judah, also known as Leo. The lady holding the stalk of wheat, Virgo. He's born of a virgin, and he's called the bread of life. Libra is the scale of justice. He's known as the just one. He's betrayed in Scorpio, dies in Sagittarius on December 21st. And it's also why he's worshipped on the Sunday. Because he's the sun.
Oh, got it.
Okay. Now, look at this picture on the left of Jesus. Okay. This is a common caricature for him. Okay. Right. Wouldn't you say that this is very typical?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Anomalies from what you're seeing. The sun is always behind Jesus because he represents the sun. Any picture you'll ever Google of Jesus, the sun will be behind his head. Always. Two fingers up is another thing you'll always see. These are an ancient Kemetic peace sign.
But Baphomet does it too.
Baphomet does it. Jesus does it. Lucifer does it. They all do it. It's like this. Sometimes it's like this. Sometimes it's like this, but it's usually like this. So this is the peace sign. This is a British war sign.
Yeah, they go like.
This is a peace sign, so they've switched it. I do a whole presentation where I talk about Illuminati hand symbols. Maybe we'll do that another time.
Yeah.
But basically, that's one of them. This is this two fingers. So the two fingers are an ancient Kemetic peace sign. The separate sign is the war sign. The white Jesus picture is actually Caesar Borgia, the bastard son of Pope Alexander VI. Before then, there was no picture of him, and it was decided that his picture would be the face of. Okay?
Yeah.
So, have you heard this before?
No.
You've never heard it?
Yeah, I've heard it just from other podcasts with you, but yeah, the ridiculousness that Jesus is white is pretty good.
If you Google him, Google Caesar Borgia, look him up. You guys are both at computers. Look him up. The same face. And that's because Pope Alexander VI, who's part of the Borgia family, which is one of the 13 ruling Illuminati families, decreed that his bastard son, and yes, popes used to have kids. Plenty of them did. decreed that his son would be the face. Because before the 1500s, when this happened, there was no picture of Jesus. And it wasn't like Muhammad, where you're not allowed to draw him and it's forbidden in the book. There was just no picture of him. And now there is. Then you got the crown of thorns wrapped around his heart on the outside. The heart is always on the outside. Okay? The crown of thorns represents the rays of the sun. So Jesus has the crown of thorns, which represents the ray of the sun. The nails are the betrayal. And then Sagittarius with the spear that I was talking about before is the spear in the side of Jesus at the end. The spear is important. The two most important murders in the Bible, I contend at least, are the first one, Cain and Abel. And Cain in Hebrew literally means spear. Huh. Okay? And then the second one is Jesus, who's killed with a spear. And then the heart represents the toroidal field. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
No.
The toroidal field is a 6-foot energetic field that comes out from your heart.
Oh, social distancing.
Yeah, that's why they say to keep you away 6 feet. That's why they do that. Just one sec.
Toroidal.
So like it's our
Taurus field.
Our energies can't link up together if we're more than 6 feet apart.
Fill up. Energies attack one another, not attack, energies feed off of one another. And that would be the case. That's why they want to keep you 6 feet apart. It comes out 6 feet from your body. So that's what all that represents in this picture.
Phew.
Now I can go into some passages, which you guys might have heard before, but I don't know if your listeners have. Proverbs 16:18, pride comes before the fall. Have you heard me speak about this?
Yeah.
I have not heard you speak of it. I've heard of the proverb, but...
All right, so then, Deborah, tell me what the proverb means.
Pride goeth before a fall. Stay humble. The message is to stay humble.
Okay. Well, check this out. A group of lions is called a pride. Pride is a lion. Lion is Leo. Leo's in July, August. That comes before the fall.
Damn. Okay.
Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. However, Bethlehem is two words in Hebrew, bet, which means house, and lechem, which means bread. So the house of bread. This is the Virgo with the wheat stalk, the virgin. So the Savior is going to come from a virgin. See how that's encoded in the book like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Deuteronomy 32. He gave them honey from the cliffs and olive oil from the rocky ground. He gave his people butter from the herd and milk from the flock. He gave them lambs and goats. They had the best rams from Bashan and the finest wheat. They drank the best wine made from the juice of red grapes. But Jeshurun became fat and kicked like a bull. Can you see how many signs are just there? Just after we went over the 12 signs, how many are just in that one passage?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He gave them honey from the cliffs. There's a group of stars in the constellation Cancer, which is called the Beehive Cluster. It's an asterism, which means it's a closely knit group of stars. That's where the honey comes from. Then you have his people gave him butter from the herd and the milk from the flock. That comes from the Milky Way galaxy, okay, whose center is in Sagittarius. So the land from Cancer to Sagittarius, okay, which is just about half the zodiac, is the land of milk and honey. Okay, that's how they encode this kind of stuff, through poetry, through metaphors, through symbolism.
Huh.
Deuteronomy, we just did this, but I'll read it anyway. Honey, beehive cluster, and Cancer. That's why bees are important in the Illuminati. Olives are collected in Libra, as are the grapes for wine. He gave his people butter from the herd and milk from the flock. The butter and the milk come from the Milky Way galaxy, the milk and the honey. He gave them lambs and goats. Lamb is a baby ram, Aries, and goat is Capricorn. They had the best rams from Bashan and the finest wheat. That's Aries and the wheat Virgo. They drank the best wine made from the juice of grapes. That's Libra. But Jeshurun became fat and kicked like a bull. That's Taurus. Revelation 4:7. The first living creature was like an ox. I'm sorry, it was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Okay? So the lion is Leo. The second face of the ox is Taurus. The third had a face like a man, that's Aquarius, the sign of the man, the son of man, the sign of the man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Okay, in astrology, the scorpion is the belly crawling creature. It crawls on its belly, much like God decreed the snake to crawl on its belly. It's the lowest form of earth. I mean, the lowest form of life on earth. It crawls on its belly. Its evolved form is the flying eagle. Okay. From thence, the flying eagle evolves one more time and it becomes the phoenix. Okay. So when you're talking about the flying eagle, you're actually talking about Scorpio. So when you put these four signs together, you have the zodiac wheel, and then you have the solstices and the equinox that make the perfect cross. That's the cross of God's son that he lives and dies on. Through this cross, these four signs make an X like this through it. And they also happen to be the four fixed signs of the zodiac.
What does that mean, the fixed signs?
It's deeper astrology. You know, you could talk about, have you ever heard about cardinal or mutable signs?
No.
It's just a deeper form of astrology. Sometimes people know it, sometimes people don't. I'm not really getting into that, to be honest with you, because there's other things that we shall talk about, but it's deeper astrology. We literally just did this. A great sign appeared in heaven. Are you familiar with the woman and the dragon in Revelation?
No.
Neither are you? A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. Have any idea what that is?
Not a clue.
I'm going to move this outside because it's very warm in here. I hope you don't mind.
No, it's fine.
It's kind of like my thing anyway. I like to go outside, get fresh air. What do you think so far?
It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really good. It helps a lot to be able to
trying to figure out who's good cop, bad cop with you two, and I'm not really getting any vibes yet.
Yeah.
He's good.
He's the bad cop?
Okay. He's the bad one.
Thanks, Deborah. Okay. That's much better. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. No, so you guys have any questions?
Well, I'm curious to hear about this pregnant woman.
This is that when they're talking about the 7 heads, the 10 horns, and 7 crowns on its head, that's all numerology. I don't talk numerology. It's too hotly contested. I don't think there's anything as blatantly obvious in it. I only really talk about things that I think are blatantly obvious for myself. And then I think that I could transmit that to other people. But you could just make it up with these numbers.
Yeah, that's the problem I have with like gematria and numerology a lot of the time. It seems like people are just reaching.
Right. This is sort of my thing too. I'm like the smoking man from X-Files.
Yeah.
That's kind of my thing. I do it in all my interviews. I'm hoping it's like a staple for me. A great sign appeared in heaven. Here we go. A woman clothed with the sun is the sun clothed in Virgo. So the sun's in Virgo. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a metaphor, right? You guys see the metaphor?
Yeah.
If the sun is in Virgo, right? If the sun is out, then the moon would be directly under her, at her feet. Okay. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous dragon. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. This is the constellation Draco on the left. Do you see its tail?
Mm-hmm.
Its tail goes from Aries to Sagittarius, which is 4 12th signs, or 1/3 of the stars out of the sky. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor of understanding the heavens. That's all the Bible is.
Yeah.
So I've given examples of astrotheology in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. I've been accused of cherry-picking verses from the Bible to prove a point. So let's take a much longer passage and see if we can decode it as well. Makes sense, right? Because I gave you some random passages. You could be like, oh, it's just, right? We're going to continue. In Job 38, 32. Now, before I start Job, are any of you familiar with the story of Job?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I need one of you to please explain to your listeners what the story of Job is about.
Okay, so wasn't... Oh, shit.
He was the one who got hit with all the plagues, all the... not the plagues, but...
The afflictions.
The afflictions.
Right. No, but explain to your listeners who he was and what happened.
Don't remember.
If you guys need me to do it, I'll do it. That's fine. I just usually like when you guys get involved.
Was he like a wealthy guy?
Yes.
And then God tested him with giving him all these diseases and stuff like that to test his faith.
Basically, to clean that up a little, Satan made a bet with God because Job was a righteous man who had everything. And Satan said, if you start taking these things away from him, he's going to curse you. So God took the bet and he let Satan do, and he told Satan, you could do anything you want, but you can't take his life. So he took everything away and he still stayed pious and humble. Now, what he then did was he cried out to God after it became too much. And God actually responded to him. Okay. What I'm going to read you is the response from God. So these are supposedly direct words from God. He says, can you lead forth the Maseroth? Now, the Maseroth literally means the zodiac. Literally. It literally means the zodiac. The Maseroth over time becomes the Mazalot, which survives in Judaism today as Mazel Tov, or good fortune from the stars. That's where Mazel Tov comes from. So the Lord's challenge to Job. He says, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Those are fairly obvious star references, right?
Right. Yeah.
The rest, not so much, but I'm going to go through them with you. Can you bring forth the constellation in their seasons or lead out the bear with its cubs? The constellations are the zodiac above, and the bear and its cubs are Ursa Major, the Great Bear, and Ursa Minor, part of the Big Dipper, right?
Yeah.
Okay, who can tip over the water jars of heaven? So that's Aquarius. Do you hunt for prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger for the lions? That's Leo, the lion. Who provides food for the raven? That's the constellation Corvus, which means raven and borders on Virgo. Do you watch where the doe bears her fawn? That's Mariga, which means deer and is located in Orion. Who let the wild donkey go free? That's Acellus Borealis, meaning donkey, and is located in Cancer. Will the wild ox consent to serve you? That's Taurus. The wings of the ostrich flap joyfully. That's Lambda Aquilae or Al-Thalimain, which means two ostriches in Arabic. Do you give the horse its strength? It laughs at fear, afraid of nothing. It does not shy away from the sword. The quiver rattles against its side along with the flashing spear and lance. You see how they're talking about the bow and arrow? Mm-hmm. And their wrench and spear? I told you that. That's Sagittarius with the bow and the arrow. Does the eagle soar at your command and build its nest on high? That's Aquila, which is the Latin name for eagle and is a constellation a few degrees above the celestial equator. Finally, he says, can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook? That's the fish Pisces. So you see how this giant thing, this giant response from God is just talking about, I created the stars. Can you read this? Do you understand this?
Yeah. So in your opinion, who wrote this?
See, that's the million-dollar question. It was written over so many years. So many people had hands on it. And I think it was a very elite ruling class that did this because they were trying to keep the literal information separate from the metaphors. See, in the year 325 that everybody loves talking about with Constantine, he unified Christianity, but he unified it as a literal Christianity, as reading it literally. Okay. He had a nephew named Julian the Apostate who, when Constantine died, tried to bring everyone back to sun solar worship. Because original Christians were known as Heliognostics, which is literally sun worshipers, if you break the words down. They all knew this. They all worshiped the sun.
they all knew these metaphors, but as Christianity spread, it spread literally. And then the meaning was lost over time.
And I'm guessing, maybe you said this, that was Constantine just withholding this information intentionally to keep?
Oh, he was a pawn.
Okay.
He was a pawn. They say he was baptized on his deathbed. Whether he was baptized on his deathbed or he united everything when he was alive is kind of like up in the air. But that's what he, that's the turning point. It's interesting too, because if you rewind the clocks back even further from 325 to about 100 AD, you come to something called the Senate of Jamnia. Okay. And it took place in Jamnia in Italy and in Israel. And what it was in the year 100 AD, believe it or not, the Old Testament wasn't canonized, which means there was no order of the books. You know, there was none of that. I mean, the book of Job is the oldest book in the Old Testament. The book of Mark is the newest, I mean, the oldest gospel out of the four. Okay. Here's the interesting thing. 100 AD in the Council of Jamnia, they had a bunch of politicians and a bunch of rabbis or rebel priests, not of priests, Jewish priests, come and basically decide the order of the Bible. Now, that was in 100 AD, but in the year 70 AD, the book of Mark came out. So one of the things they deliberated at this session was whether or not to include the story of Mark or the story of Jesus in the Old Testament. Could you imagine how different the world would be if it was just one testament?
Yeah. Would we be worshiping Mark?
How is Jesus able to heal the blind? Think about him as the Son, okay? As the S-O-N of God, okay? He came into the blind man. He put his fingers on the guy's eyes and he could see. But metaphorically, the sun does the same thing too. It's dark at night. And when the sun comes up, it puts its fingers on your eyes and then you can see everything. How he walked on water. Have you ever seen a sunset on the water? Uh-huh. He walks right across it. How he turned water into wine. This one's a little more complicated, but do you know why God is considered a man and Earth is considered a woman, Mother Earth?
No.
It has to do with God's sacred fluid, his rain. In Hebrew, it's called shemen, and we get the word semen from it.
Oh, my God.
Okay? And what happens is God's sacred fluid, the shemen, comes and impregnates the earth, and from the earth, everything grows. That's why the year starts in Aries, because things start to grow. The year starts to grow. You start to plant. The sun comes out. Everybody's happy. These were used as calendars. So basically, you have the water, and then you know in Taurus, you plant. That's April showers bring May flowers. Everybody knows about that. So it rains and rains and rains. The grapes grow, and then you press them in Libra. So that's how you turn the original water into wine.
Okay.
Why he had 12 disciples? Well, they each represent one sign of the zodiac. I've already told you that Judas is Scorpio. Going into all the signs for the other 11 is not really what I do right now.
Do they all have characteristics though?
Yes.
Of each,
absolutely.
Each sign? Okay.
Absolutely. The sign of Peter, Simon Peter. Do you know why Simon is called Peter?
No.
But you know who Simon Peter is, right?
Well, I know he's one of the disciples, but
right.
I don't know.
He's Simon Peter. It's because he represents Pisces, because the ruling planet of Pisces is Jupiter.
Did you say Jupiter?
Jupiter.
Oh God. Yeah. Bingo.
Yep. So why he was betrayed with a kiss by Judas, we went over that. Why he was dead for 3 days, we went over that. Why his birthday's on December 25th, we went over that too. It doesn't stop there. It's not just random passages in the Bible that can be decoded this way. We're now going to go through the entire book of Matthew to show how deep this runs. Okay? Keep mind of the zodiac wheel on your left and try and follow. Okay? Matthew 3:2, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Each gospel begins at one of the four major points of the zodiac and ends at one of them as well. the two solstices and the two equinox, which connect to form a cross. This is known as the cross of God's Son. The kingdom of heaven is in Leo, whose ruling planet is the sun. This is only sun, that sign that sun rules over. Then this is the firmament. When they talk about the firmament, they're talking about these bordering lines between the signs. Okay, in the Bible it says the firmament shows God's handiwork. That's what this is. This is the firmament between Cancer and Leo. It's the beginning of the kingdom. So the zodiac, this gospel starts June 21st, which is the summer solstice, which is in Cancer. Then it moves to the firmament between Cancer and Leo. The firmament are divided lines between the signs. Now, the next passage, Matthew 3:4, John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair. He wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. If we were to take the most famous drawing of a man, Leonardo da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, and superimpose it onto the zodiac, we can make sense of it. I just used the zodiac, the Leonardo da Vinci's Vitruvian Man. You could use any drawing of a man. I just think it's cooler this way. See what I did there? Cancer is being the head, which is why he eats the wild honey. Makes sense. In Cancer, there's a star cluster called the Beehive Cluster. Bees produce honey. This is also why the land of milk and honey is so prevalent in the Old Testament. It is the area between the Milky Way galaxy and the Beehive Cluster. A little lower down on the body, as you go backwards, it goes lower. Okay? The body is made out of camel hair, or Camelopardalis, which is a star in Gemini. I can't remember if it's a star or a constellation. So right now you have the head and the upper body so far. A little lower on the body, you'll get his midsection, which is where you wear a belt. Taurus represents the bull and the female is the cow, which is where you would get the leather for the leather belt. Regarding the belt, Orion's belt sits between Taurus and Gemini. Okay? That's the belt, Orion's belt. Next would be the baptism. So how are we going to go from the beginning of Leo to a water sign to signify the baptism? You would go across the zodiac. Cross signs, as they are known, are signs opposite location. For example, Aries and Libra are cross signs. This is very important. The sign's two most important signs are its neighboring sign and the cross sign. Okay? This is encoded in the book as well. Here we see how it makes a leap from one firmament to the other. The man with the water pitcher in Aquarius is personified as John the Baptist with the water. It's important to note, too, that John the Baptist and Jesus are always exactly 6 months apart. Metaphoric on the zodiac wheel. Picture a lot of like Monopoly pieces walking along the zodiac wheel that represent different characters, okay? John the Baptist and Jesus are always going to be 6 months apart. When you think about the fact that Jesus is born on December 25th and rises a degree a day, then that must mean that John the Baptist is born on June 24th and decreases a degree a day. This is why in John 3:30, John says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And it's also why St. John's Day is exactly 6 months to the day of the birth of Jesus, which is June 24th. The next story is the temptation of Jesus. So we are going back to the Cancer Leo firmament of July 24th. Well, this is simple. What's 40 days? You notice temptation was 40 days.
Yeah. So
you count 40 days from July 24th. That takes you to September 2nd. That's right in the middle of Virgo. The virgin with the wheat stalk. What does the devil say right away? Matthew 4:3. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. The bread in Virgo, right? Here we see mentions of the bread, which tells you that the sun is in Virgo. There is another section in the Bible where Jesus feeds the masses with two fish and five loaves of bread. Well, the two fish are the signs of Pisces, literally. And its cross sign, which I already mentioned is prevalent in the Bible, is Virgo, the bread. The next passage is Matthew 5:17 and 22. I did not come to abolish the law. And if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. This takes place in the firmament of Virgo and Libra. Because remember, Libra is the judger. So you get two passages right there where they talk about being judged or judging someone. This could also, when you are at the firmament, it could be used on either side. So if something's on the firmament, you could talk about law and judgment in Libra, the scales of law, who judges the sun before its descent into fall and winter, or you could talk about Virgo the bread. Speeding this up a bit, you're starting to get the picture. Matthew 7, 9, 10. If your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Once again, this being the firmament between Virgo and Libra, it is switched back to Virgo. Matthew 7, 15, 16. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep. And can you pick grapes from the thorn bushes? The sheep are the ram in Aries, and the grapes are in Libra, as you know that now. Once again, they are opposing signs. Moving along, Matthew 13. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. The story now moves from Libra to the barrier between Aquarius and Pisces, as he is right beside the lake, or the two water signs. So I'm aware in astrology that Aquarius is an air sign, but it's a man holding a pitcher of water. So metaphorically, they can speak of water. Pisces is actually a water sign. Its cross sign is the Leo-Virgo firmament. As it's across from Virgo, the wheat stalk, the grains, is it ironic that the next parables are the wheat and the weeds, the mustard seed and the yeast, all having to do with that? Moving right along, next is the fishing net parable. So we go back across from Leo Virgo to Aquarius Pisces. Gemini is the sign of two men, technically twins. However, there's just a short mention of brothers in the next passage. He's just the carpenter's son, and we know Mary, his mother, and his brother James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. This ends at the firmament of Gemini and Cancer. Because the very next story is the death of John the Baptist. Now, it ends at the Gemini-Cancer border, because if you go across, it hits the Sagittarius-Capricorn border, right? Which is literally December 21st. December 21st is the death, remember? Anytime they're talking about a death, they're metaphorically talking about December 21st. The firmament of Sagittarius Capricorn and the Gemini Cancer are opposing signs. So this is how the Bible stories have been written. I'll give you an example outside of it. Let's take the sentence, which sounds like it could be in the Bible, but isn't. If I said to you, the rulers were divided between war and love, it split the land in half, you could read it as a literal translation. Or the ruling planet of Aries is Mars, who's the god of war, and the ruling planet of Libra is Venus, who's the goddess of love. This is your war and love. If you connect it literally, it splits the land in half, like I did in the zodiac. You see how it splits it in half?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Matthew 14, 17, and 32. But we only have five loaves of bread and two fish. I mentioned this previously, but the bread and the fish are opposing signs in the zodiac. This is the cross of God's son. We were just in Virgo, and now next is Libra, which is law and wine, remember? Law and wine. That's what you need to take out of Virgo. If someone says Libra, you know law and wine. What stories do we get now? The story of the temple tax, the unforgiving debtor, divorce and marriage, and the parable of the vineyard worker. Right? So weird that these passages would literally line up with their metaphorical equal. As you can see at this point, how things are encoded and put out in plain sight. Next is Scorpio, the betrayer. This is where Judas betrays Jesus with the kiss. Then here again, we end up between the Sagittarius-Capricorn border. Here is where Jesus is crucified on the cross. But we know when the sun dies on December 21st, it remains dead for 3 days and then rises on December 25th, the resurrection. And that's the book of Matthew, and that's my presentation.
Wow.
It's a lot to take in, man. But yeah, that's crazy. What role do you think, the Bible was continuously being added to, what role do you think that the Vatican plays in it, and how much do you think that they actually worship, you know, the signs of what's it called? All the,
you want to know if the Vatican really knows the deal?
Yeah. And if
would you agree after this PowerPoint presentation that there's definitely astrology hidden in the Bible?
Yes.
What about you, Deborah?
Yeah, definitely.
Can one of you two, are you at a computer? Obviously. Mm-hmm. Can one of you two look up the Roman Catholic Catechism 2116 and read it for everyone here?
Yeah, let me do that real quick. Let's see. Roman Catholic Catechism 2116.
Yes, and then read it to everyone.
Roman Catholic How do you spell catechism?
C-A-T-H-E-C-I-S-M.
Just wing it, it'll correct you.
What was the number?
2116.
Okay. Let's see. All forms of divination are to be rejected. Recourse to Satan or demons conjuring up the dead or other practices falsely supposed to unveil the future. Consulting horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, interpretation of omens, and lots of phenomena of clairvoyance and recourse to mediums all conceal a desire for power over time, history, and in the last analysis, other human beings, as well as a wish to consolate hidden powers. They contradict the honor, respect, and loving fear that we owe to God alone.
Here's your answer.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church is hiding this information from people.
Yeah.
Wide open.
When was that what I just read introduced?
I don't even know when it came in. I could look it up real quick, but there you go. The Catholic Church, they the higher ups, the Jesuits, everybody knows this information. But yeah. Maybe not everybody. I don't think priests do. So you could take it literally, or you could dig under it like I've been doing. Okay, this whole presentation was out of my creation. Well, 95% of it. Okay, I got to give credit where credit's due to like Santos Bonacci for the names of Jesus. You know.
Yeah.
But the Catholic Church knows this, and as long as they do, you remember when they tried to sneak in that 13th sign a couple of years ago?
No, I don't.
You guys didn't hear about that?
No.
Ophiuchus? I never know how to say it. The snake bearer. If you add the 13th sign in, it screws this science up. There's no more cross signs that make perfect crosses. There's no more crosses that make perfect days. This was a calendar. This is the oldest calendar. If you think about it, 40,000 years ago, if we had a global reset, okay, say an atomic bomb went off or Yellowstone erupted, or something to that effect, right? And we started back from zero. Finding God would be pretty low on that list. We would be concerned with living in caves, building fires, surviving, eating, child rearing, you know, medicine maybe, all that stuff. Figuring out which plants are poisonous, berries are poisonous. You know how long that must have taken to figure it out? This was their calendar. They would look at the sky when there was no pollution, and they would see all the stars, and they would track the stars because they'd know when to plant. They would know when winter's coming. They would know when to harvest, and a million different things. This was their clock, and this is what they used. And this is the science that's behind the Bible. This is all hidden in the Bible. I've done the Book of Enoch. I just showed you the Book of Matthew. I've done the Book of Revelation. I've only given you two passages from Revelation, but I've done the Book of Revelation. They're all the same. Even all the Gnostic texts that never made it into the Bible, they all talk about the same thing. They're all encoded with this information.
So what's the Vatican's motivation to keep it all hidden if they're actually the ones? What's that?
Keep people in line. Keep them in fear. You know? Control.
Yeah, because if people would go back and realize that it's just all about the signs of that they wouldn't be.
Could you imagine if this kind of information actually came out to the public? Could you imagine if they knew that the Bible was just an encoded astrology book? Passages like Leviticus, where they talk about homosexuality being abhorrent, that wouldn't have any weight to it. That wouldn't have any meaning to it. You know, the LGBT community, they don't have to worry about being burned in hell. There is no hell. There is no hell because hell is cold. Hell is cold on earth. That's what hell is.
You know what the Italian word for hell is?
Oh, I should know. I took a whole 4 years of Italian in college. Oh, what is it?
Inverno.
Say it again.
Inverno. It means winter. Inverno means winter. They just changed it to inferno to mean heat. There's no
heat. Oh, my God. So what about, you know, Islamic or Buddhist?
I've not gone into the same thing. I have not gone into them. I've gone into the... I've touched the Quran briefly. Maybe one day I'll do it. I'm not doing it right now.
But does
it's a similar thing.
It can all be fit into
all of this stuff. This is it. This is all they're talking about. This is all they're talking about. It's not literal. It's never meant to be taken literal. And before 325 AD, no one did. They all knew this. They all knew the ancient sciences. This is the ancient science. This is the first science.
Wow.
So are we technically in the recently entered into the age of Aquarius right now?
We did on December 21st, 2012. Remember they made a movie about it. They said it was going to be the end of the world. It was the end of the Mayan calendar. It was the end of Pisces.
Yeah.
It was the end of their calendar. Their clock ran out. That's all it was.
Yeah, it's weird because in Zeitgeist, they say it'll happen in 2150. But I guess their timeline was off.
You're full of shit. each zodiac sign is 2160 years.
Yeah.
In my books, which I'll talk about in a few, I show the timeline. Because you could trace it back. Are you familiar with the Sphinx?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know that the Sphinx is basically a lion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you know that the Sphinx is 12,000 years old?
Yeah, I know it's much different than the narrative that's told to us about
it. The Sphinx is 12,000 years old. I'll give you two pieces of evidence. Number one, when it was dug out, the back of the Sphinx is smooth. It's not eroded by sand. It's smooth. And the only way that happens is by running water. Well, the end of the Ice Age, the last time there was water in that area was 12,000 years ago. The other thing that's interesting, too, is if you rewind the clocks back 12,000 years ago to the age of Leo, the Sphinx actually faces Leo.
Okay.
Deborah, are you taking notes?
Yes.
What are the repercussions what does it mean that we've entered into the age of Aquarius?
It's going to be an enlightenment time. It's the age of that's why the powerful leader know this is all going to crash down.
When does that happen?
We're a little early in the we're living in history right now.
Yeah,
it's so early.
Unfortunately, we have to live.
Yeah,
Let's put it this way: in the age of Taurus was the age of the Egyptians. They were the most prevalent people, and if you look at their hieroglyphs, they have bulls with their horns and the sun between it everywhere. I mean, they're literally telling you they used to worship the sun. In the Old Testament, Moses, who was the people of the Jews, who were the people of Aries, I went over all those connections before. He goes to the top to get the Ten Commandments. He comes down. Do you remember what he sees them worshiping?
The golden bull.
The golden bull, exactly.
The calf or whatever.
Yes. So one of two things happened. Either these nomads found welding equipment and welded this ginormous idol in the middle of the desert for no reason, or the golden calf, the golden bull. It's the sun and Taurus. They were worshiping the wrong time periods. Moses was there to usher them into a new time period. So he throws the tablets on the floor where we get the phrase, the breaker of the lawbreaker. He broke the law. And that's it. He moves them into Aries. Then in Christianity comes in Pisces. In the age of Pisces, you have the Jesus fish, which incidentally is the center of the Vesica Pisces. Okay. An interesting thing too is that Jesus is walking alongside when he's resurrected and he sees his disciples fishing and they can't catch anything. Okay. Because they're in the water in Aquarius. He tells them to cast the net to the other side, which is Pisces, the sign of the fish, and the fish come. 153 fish, they say. Well, 153 fish, they were very specific about it. 153 is the denominator of the Vesica Pisces.
What do you mean by that?
The number of the vesica Pisces, its denominator, it's a fraction. Its denominator is 153. That's why you have the Jesus fish. It's part of the vesica Pisces. Now, in the age of Aquarius, that's why all the elites are trying to have a new world religion, because they all follow this. As high up as it goes, they all follow this information. They all follow astrology. JP Morgan famously said, millionaires don't need astrologers, but billionaires do. It's true.
So is any theory on what this new religion?
I think it's the man with the water pitcher. And it's a sign of the man. And I think the sign of the man is going to transmute for everybody. I think the new religion is going to be one where we merge with machines.
Say that one more time.
We merge with machines.
Where we merge. I don't like that.
AI and scientism and all that stuff.
Yep. Absolutely. Happening
right now.
We're just in the beginning of it right now. You understand? Yeah. So it's a little early to see, but we're living in history. We're the only population of people in the history of the universe that can say we saw the change of a century, a millennia, and a zodiac sign. I've done the math. No one else can say that. Okay, so we're living through so many transmuted energies. It's unbelievable.
Jeez. Yeah, that's a lot to take in.
Well, I warned you.
Yeah.
Adam, but I warned you, man.
Yeah, I think I got to go back and watch again. But in the meantime, do you want to talk about your books at all?
I just have one question before we get there. I just did a little math because I'm slow. So 2,160 years per each zodiac sign times 12. So now if I did the math correctly, which probably I didn't, 25,920 years. That's
correct. That's called the great year.
The great
year. The great year. It's the time that it goes through the Milky Way galaxy.
And what would be the relevance of that? Is there something that happens? Is that a new phase?
We usually have a reset, some sort of climatic or giant reset every 12,000 years.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be able to know. I wouldn't be able to let you know.
Okay.
What was the last one and when's the next one?
The last one was about 12,000 years ago with the Ice Age. Okay. There was a giant flood. That's why everyone has a flood story.
Yeah. And so we're on par to have another one?
We are.
Okay. Got it.
So yeah. I know Alex Jones sells a bunch of like dried food. If you wanted to. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I'm all set to go, man. So tell us about your books.
What I've done is I've written a set of thrillers, 6 thrillers, that hide all this info. Well, it doesn't hide. It blatantly exposes all this information. I'm on Facebook and Twitter at Micah Dank. You could follow me there. Friend me there. I think we're following each other, right? I think we are.
I'm not on Facebook.
No, Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're following each other on Twitter. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. You can reach out to me. I sell signed copies of my books. Okay, the first 3 are already out. The 4th one's coming out March 15th.
I ordered it on Audible, but it's not...
April 27th.
Yes.
So. I appreciate your support. Thank you. Yeah, anybody that's listening, reach out to me. I answer every single person that reaches out to me. And to be perfectly honest with you, I've never had anybody just like reach out to me and give me crap. It's always been so positive.
That's good.
Yeah.
We could say the same.
It's really fascinating. It's like a puzzle where the pieces are falling into place.
I thought the idea of your show was that you two aren't supposed to agree.
Well, on certain things we do not, but you know, this is just, I mean, how can you dispute it?
That's what I do, is like, if there's This is why I don't touch numerology or things of that nature. It's because there's just so many ways you can take it. Like, it's pretty blatantly obvious. I kind of gave you my strongest points on everything in this PowerPoint. I kind of just gave you, and it's not by any means everything that I have, because I also talk about conspiracies and other things in my book series.
So the books,
yes.
From what I understand, they're a fiction story, but in the story you lay out a lot of this information for people to get, even though they think they're getting a fiction.
That's exactly what it is. It's truth and fiction.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the, can you give us a brief overview of the storyline?
So the first book is a story about, and they all follow there. It's all one long storyline.
Is it one protagonist throughout the whole thing?
Oh, there's like 8 of them.
Okay.
It's a group of people. Where it ends up being 8. The first one I think is like 4 or 5. Graham, who's the main character, is a Harvard med student and a functioning alcoholic who gets a call from his very drunk mother saying that his brother had died. His brother was a Marine in Syria, and he had died, and he needs to go to Washington, D.C.
Was it in the airstrike that Joe Biden just ordered?
Stop.
I don't do politics. I don't do politics. I have my own views. My close friends know what I believe in, but I don't do politics. I don't alienate people. I can't.
Got it.
But no, it wasn't, unfortunately. So his brother dies. He has to go to Washington, D.C. to get a medal of honor or valor, whatever the hell you call it. I forget what I called it. From the president. And he goes there, and while he's on his way there, he opens up his email and he finds an old email that he never checked. And it's from an unknown sender, but he recognizes it as his brother. And his brother anonymously sent it to him encrypted. And this is just this long nonsensical line. And this is where it gets very Dan Brownish, is because Graham's best friend realizes it's a complex cryptogram that they have to code. They have to decode. And so they have to break it down. So there's a lot of cryptograms, anagrams, stuff that you love from like Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons, that sort of stuff. Only this is more real.
Yeah.
You know? And that's all I'm going to give away for the first one, though. But it's killing it on it's on Amazon. It's got like 127 reviews. It's 129 reviews. And it's got like a 4.8 rating.
Nice. Yeah, people, I just
people are leaving like essays when they leave comments. That was my doorbell, by the way.
Okay.
Not the police coming to arrest me.
Yeah, I just ordered the first 3, and I'm looking forward to getting into them. And yeah, I don't care what anybody says. I loved all that Dan Brown stuff when I read it.
But you're gonna learn so much more too.
Yeah.
You're going to learn so much more, so many more conspiracies, so many things that you've never even thought to think about.
Yeah. Can you give anybody a teaser about some of the conspiracies that you get?
The first book is a lot about MK Ultra.
Beautiful.
Book is about the capstones of the pyramids, the missing capstones and what they truly mean. One of them is about the Library of Alexandria. My fourth book that's coming out, interestingly enough, I wrote in 2017, 2018, and I put a disclaimer in it that I had to, and I'm going to explain to you why.
I know why.
Did I explain it to you already?
I heard it on Grimerica.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. I don't want to bring it into here. But basically, okay.
Are you sure?
I mean, I guess I could.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Let me give it to your audience. That's fine. There's a Japanese jellyfish called the Irukandji jellyfish, and when it bites you or it stings you, one of the side effects is it leaves you with an impending sense of doom. This is all true. You can look it up. An impending sense of doom to the point where you're begging your doctor when you go see him to kill you, or people are killing themselves from this. So what they do is this very elite council extracts this protein from the jellyfish and they place it in the global flu vaccine, the globally mandated flu vaccine. And then people start killing themselves. It's like Bird Box meets The Matrix. You know, remember the movie Bird Box?
Yeah.
So they have to, the characters have to figure out, and it's brilliant, like scientifically and everything brilliant. Everything is real in it. So it's fantastic.
That's the fourth one that's coming out in, coming out soon.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to, how long is each book?
They're about 250, 260 pages. They're not long reads.
Okay.
But they're dense.
I can't wait for April. I'm going to have to get Amazon.
I'm not going to lie, Adam. Like, I'm not tooting my own horn, but like, read it with a highlighter.
Okay.
And then highlight the pages and then go back to stuff.
Okay. And yeah.
Because what I hope people are going to do is they're going to read through it and they're going to go, they're going to read through something and they're going to come across something and they're going to go, that's bullshit. And then they're going to Google it and go, oh, wow, it is real. I didn't know that. And now they have something to know. So I'm going to open their brain up a little bit. And then after like six or seven times of them Googling it and finding out it's real, they're just going to trust the author.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to get through the first three and then maybe we'll have you back on to talk about the books. And
I would appreciate that. I would really like that.
Yeah, we would too, man.
Yeah.
Thanks, Deborah.
Really fascinating.
Yeah, this is great. I never thought we'd be getting into astrotheology on the show. So, you know, yeah, we just started the show talking about geopolitics and our differences politically. And then like doing that a little bit too much, we got kind of burnt out on all that stuff. So we're getting into like ancient mysteries and Tartaria and flat earth and everything like that. And
you're going to have David Weiss on?
We already did.
We did. Yeah.
That guy. That guy makes his way more. That guy is hoard around the internet more than I am.
Yeah, that's yeah. He went on like a massive tour, but he did a good show with us. So, but yeah, like I always say, like when we end up doing shows about stuff like this or you know ancient mysteries, I feel much more spiritually spiritually fulfilled than when we talk about elite pedophilia rings, you know, so
yeah, but, which I talk about in book six.
Cool. Right on, man. So tell everybody where they can find you.
Thank you. Twitter, Facebook, Micah Dank. Find me, friend me, follow me. If you reach out to me or if you follow me, I'll reach out to you and see if you're interested in the signed book series. I have a Facebook group, Into the Rabbit Hole. It's been growing pretty rapidly. That's about it. You can buy them from Amazon. I'm completely fine with that. Into the Rabbit Hole on Amazon. You can, but if you want signed copies, you can get them through me.
That sounds good, man. Yeah, for sure, man. Okay. So stay in contact and I'll read the books and I'm definitely going to let you know what I think. And yeah, everybody else out there, go out and find the books and read them and we'll talk about them later. So
thanks, bud. Shoot me the YouTube link when it's up.
Okay, we'll do. We're going to drop Sunday. We'll drop it out on Tuesday.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, it was lovely meeting you guys.
Yeah, it was great. Great talking to you, man. We'll do it again in the future. So thanks, Deborah. I love you. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Love you guys.
Everybody.
Thanks, Micah.
Bye, guys.